All right, let's take our Bibles back to John chapter 13 tonight. We'll try to finish up this passage on foot washing. You know, have you heard that all your life? Foot washing. Well, this text don't say foot washing. It says feet washing. You ever thought about that? How many of you know churches, you know, they do foot washing? You've heard of that? Something's got to be older, maybe. I don't know why they just did one. But no, this is about Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And the rest of the text talks about how the Lord left the example to them. And he gives the strange admonition that we need to look at tonight, where he tells them in verse 14, at the end of the verse, well, just look at the whole verse, verse 14. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. So the message tonight is about washing one another's feet. But it's not going to be what you think, because, as we're going to see in just a moment, they did not understand what he was doing either. It was more than a physical activity. So let's read these verses where we left off this morning. John chapter 13 and verse 6. We'll read verse 5 for the context. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. We'll see about that. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. What a character Peter is. I mean, you go from arguing with Jesus to tell him to give you a bath. That was Peter. He had a problem up here. But usually his heart was in the right place, even if... I think there's a lot about Peter's attitude, though, that relates to us. Verse 9, well, I just read that. Verse 10, Jesus said unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. I speak not of you all, I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Let's pray together and ask God for understanding. Father, tonight I feel like I'm very inadequate to deliver this message for various reasons. But Lord, I know that your church needs a lesson like this, because your disciples that heard it so long ago, their doctrine, their words, their commandments, their truths continue on in us that know Christ as our Master and Lord. And we pray the life of the Lord Jesus Christ would be lived through each of us tonight. And Lord, I pray that you would make this this event, this powerful story. Make it, Lord, real in our hearts that we would live different lives than we live, that we would interact one with another as you would have us to, and be more like Jesus as we've even sung tonight. And Lord, we'll thank you for that. And God, help us to be willing to humble ourselves in life so that you don't have to work those things and circumstances to bring us to the place where we are on our knees and we see how pitiful we are and how much in need we are of you. Help us to learn this lesson of humility and servanthood, and we'll thank you for that help. In Jesus Christ's name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Now, I do not believe that washing feet is an ordinance. I don't believe it is. It's never said to be so in this text. He does say in verse 15, he gave them an example. But you know, the Bible tells us that in 1 John, he's given us an example that we should follow his steps, that we ought to follow the steps of the Master, and we ought to live like him and be like him. But he doesn't use the word ordinance in that. But we ought to walk even as he walked and have the life that he had, have the heart that he had. But he gave this as an example to us, an example, not as an ordinance. If you want to look at the ordinances that he gave to the church, you have to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he mentions ordinances plural, one being the Lord's Supper. And I also believe the other is water baptism. But nevertheless, you know, if he'd have said, do this, man would have turned this into something he never intended to anyway. Say, well, I said this morning, somebody called me, you don't like people to touch you. And what I meant to say was, the context of that, I don't want you touching my feet. Now, if I called you up on the platform and asked you to take your shoes off tonight, and I got a basin out and a towel, you would be uncomfortable. I mean, I would think you would be uncomfortable. I know I would be uncomfortable. But you know, there's a lot of things in the Christian life, if we're going to be like Jesus, there are some uncomfortable things you're supposed to do. And they may be more uncomfortable than just washing somebody's feet. But you know what? We're so proud. We've got so many problems, church. The best of us, we just don't want to do what we don't want to do. We don't want to do what makes us uncomfortable. And usually you preach a message like this, and really it's about servanthood, about being a servant. And all the people that want others to serve them say, yeah, preach to them. You know, people need to be kinder to me. They need to help take care of me. They miss the whole point. And the point is that there's something wrong with our hearts that we don't want to serve others. And Jesus Christ, as he goes through this illustration of washing feet, and it is an example. It is not, again, an ordinance. I don't believe if you want to practice that, you know, go ahead. I mean, but we don't wear sandals everywhere we go either. So we live in a different day. It's a different thing. But as he gave this example to them, he tells them that they're not going to understand what he's doing. And he says it right off the bat. And I think people that try to practice it as an ordinance also are not understanding what he's doing. Would you look at look with me here in verse number 7, where the Bible says, Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now. Well, wait a minute. Everybody knows what it means to wash somebody's feet. So that tells me this, that if we were to wash one another's feet and just do the activity of the physical activity, we are not really understanding his point, because certainly they understood he was washing their feet. They could understand that. But there was something in what he was doing that they did not understand, which was the purpose that he was doing this activity. The Bible tells us, as we read on down, they didn't understand that they were clean and that they need to be washed. But look at verse 12. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Well, how could they not know what he has done to them? He went through and he washed every one of their feet. But he's not talking about the literal thing that he had done. He's talking about the spiritual thing that he had done. And the understanding of what it took for he, as verse 13, their master and Lord, to submit himself to such a lowly place and do that service among. They lacked knowledge. And I want you to look at that again. Verse 7, what I do thou knowest not. Now contrast that to what we preached this morning. Verse 1, Jesus knew. Remember that? Verse number 3, Jesus knowing. Jesus had full knowledge. And here the disciples, they have no idea what Jesus is doing to them. They have no idea what the lesson that he's trying to teach them. Oh, the contrast between what Jesus knows and what we know. What Jesus is trying to get across to us in life and what we understand life to be about is so far different. He knows what he's doing. He knows the truth of what he's doing and what he's trying to get across. They have no idea. That's why Peter's arguing with him. Watch Peter arguing with God. Maybe you've done some of that recently. The Bible says in verse 6, then cometh he to Simon Peter. Now, I don't know how it went. I don't know which disciple he washed first. But it just looks like he's going down the table. This is the table of the Lord's Supper, okay? He's going down. The supper's over. He gets up, as we preached this morning, girds himself. He gets a basin and a towel. And one by one, he starts washing their feet. And Peter, somewhere down the line, is over there looking. And I'm sure he's thinking, James, why are you letting the holy Lord God get down on his hands and knees? Hey, you don't wash people's feet standing up. John, why are you letting the Lord humble himself before you? Some stuff's rolling in Peter's mind. And Peter's saying, I tell you what, when he gets down to me, we're going to change this little service. And I'm going to show them how important Jesus is. And I'm going to show them that I understand that I'm not worthy for him to wash my feet. Were any of them worthy for him? No. And so Jesus comes down the line. He gets to Peter. And Peter says, Lord, dost thou wash my... Well, what do you think, Peter? What do you think he's doing? It's not a question of whether or not, Lord, are you really going to do this? It's, you're going to wash... What do you think you're doing? You're not going to wash my feet. You know, sometimes in our hyper-spirituality, we are on opposite ends of God. I mean, Peter looked like the spiritual one. Well, man, we're not worthy for Jesus to wash our feet. We're not. Jesus, I'm not going to let you wash my feet. No. And he's arguing with God. And Jesus says to Peter, as he normally has to do, he tells Peter here in verse 7, Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And that should have been enough for Peter. Jesus looked and said, Peter, look, you don't know what's going on. You'll find out later. And Peter, instead of saying, okay, Lord, I guess you know best. Is that what he responds? Look what he says. Verse 8, Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. I don't know what you're doing, but I tell you one thing, you're not doing that. You ever argued with God? You ever not wanted God to do what he's trying to do in your life? You can put a spiritual reason on it, but it's all the same. It's challenging God's will for our lives. Thou shalt never wash my feet. It's like when Jesus told Peter he was going to the cross and he says he's going to suffer and die. And he says, you're not going to do that. Not so, Lord. What a weird thing to say. You're the Lord, but you're not going to do this. You're my master, but you're not going to wash my feet. You know, there may have been another reason why I didn't want Jesus to wash his feet. It may have been he's being really spiritual. But it also may have been, uncomfortable. I bet Peter had about a size 12. I bet that fisherman stunk, son. I mean, Peter's always wanted the head of the pack. I bet Peter's looking down at his feet and said, ooh, I don't think I want him touching my feet. Now, look, I don't know. People back then, they didn't bathe every day. You do know that's an American custom. Thank God. Right? Now, what do you think a fisherman's big old cloppers, what do you think they smelled that hadn't been washed every day? Walking the streets of Jerusalem. And maybe Peter, maybe he was being super spiritual and arguing with God. I've seen people do that, you know. Well, we've just got things that we believe. We've just got ways we do things. Yeah, I've seen a lot of people get really spiritual and all the things come crashing down on them. If God's trying to do something in your life, you better just quit arguing with Him. Maybe He's uncomfortable. Jesus, you know, you don't know where these feet have been. I don't want you washing my feet. Thou shalt never wash my feet. Now look. If you could never get comfortable with Jesus washing your feet, you would never get comfortable washing somebody else's feet. Sure. And that goes to the root of our hearts. It shows what's in our hearts. Well, I'm just not comfortable with this. Well, that's why you need to take a few steps down, you see. Well, I just don't know. I'm just uneasy about this. Makes me feel a little bit uncomfortable. You know, some people get uncomfortable in church. Some people get uncomfortable when other people's spirituality rises a little bit deeper or a little bit more committed than theirs. People get uncomfortable in service when people start serving the Lord and they don't want to reach that level of commitment. People get uncomfortable all reason. When the level of commitment goes up, they start getting uncomfortable. Maybe Peter was just uncomfortable with Jesus, but he said, "Thou shalt never wash my feet." He challenges Christ. He says, "Never." You better be careful saying never any time in your life. The proper heart would have been just sit there and cry and say, "Lord, I really don't deserve you to. Don't, let me wash your feet. Let me." But if you want to do this, I don't understand it. Thou shalt never wash my feet. And immediately Jesus comes back to him. And he says in verse 8, Jesus answers him, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." I'll mention that again in just a minute. Okay, Peter, I give you, if you won't let me wash the feet, then I don't want to have any part with you. How do you like that? What's more important to you? Your fellowship with me or your comfort area? What's more important? The way you look at things and the way you want things to be? Or the sweetness that we've had at the table? Some people at that rebuke would have got off the table and said, "All right, if that's the way it is, I'm taking my ball and going home." I guarantee you for sure, I thank God that He did not institute washing feet as an ordinance of the church, because people would get up and leave. If I took a basin and I said, and I didn't even ask you, and I walked up and started walking down, I said, "All right, take your shoes off and wash your feet." First of all, you do that to an American, what does he do? Or she do? What? That ain't in the Bible. Well, it ain't in the Old Testament either. But Jesus said, "Take your shoes off." You know, if we started doing that, you say, "Well, I don't appreciate that." You know, if I was going down the road, before I got to your row, some of you would slip out. Amen. I got to be honest. If I was in a service and they go wash everybody's feet, I'd get sick. I'd have to go to the restroom. Yeah. But what if I did this? What if I came by to you and I said, "All right, I want you to take your shoes off. I'm going to wash your feet." And if you said, "No, preacher, I don't want you to do that." "No, I'm going to do it." No, preacher, I don't want you to do that. If you don't let me wash your feet, you don't have any part in our fellowship here at the church. How would that be? That's how Jesus responds to Peter. And Peter's so wise, he's not like American. He just humbles his heart and says, well, if that's the issue, you know, because the most important thing in Peter's life was fellowship with Jesus Christ. It wasn't his comfort. It wasn't that things went well with him. It meant the world to him to be with Jesus Christ. And he was not going to let any petty thing, any uncomfortable thing, upset his fellowship with God. Let me ask you a question. What will it take for your fellowship to be interrupted with God? What would it take for your fellowship to be interrupted with the church? Would it be somebody making you take your shoes off? Well, they made me take my shoes. I've known people to leave the church for all kinds of reasons. I've known people to leave their relationship, their fellowship with God, reading their Bibles for the stupidest things in the world. I had a man one time left church because the color in the carpet of his classroom got changed. You know how deep his relationship with the Lord was. Can you imagine that guy standing before the Lord? He said, well, why'd you leave church and never go back? Well, they changed it to blue. How deep is our commitment? They say, well, that's stupid, that's silly. Yeah, until it's something you're uncomfortable with. I'm telling you, this is an uncomfortable situation. And that's why Peter says, never. And Jesus said, all right, you either do what I say or we don't have any fellowship. And Peter says, all right, my head and my hands. And again, he's stupid. He don't even know what's going on. He didn't know the whole purpose. Bless his heart. That's all I can say. That's a southern term. I can imagine Jesus looking at him. He says, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And the Lord just, Peter, I don't have a big enough basin for you, buddy. He misunderstood what Christ was trying to do. He misunderstood the purpose. He misunderstood that he was clean. Look at what Jesus says to him in verse 10. Jesus said to him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And you are clean, but not all. He said, I'm not telling you you're not clean, but there's just a part of you that I need to wash. We'll get to that in a second. Though you're clean, you still need cleansing. But before I move this, Peter just doesn't have a right knowledge. People didn't have a right knowledge of this text. But would you go to verse 17? One more thing about this knowledge. The principle of this text. John 13:17, Jesus said, if ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. What things? All these things. Not just the feet part, but the part in verse 16 about the servants not greater than his Lord. The part about the whole part being at the table and the fellowship and the communion with God. If you do these things, if you know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. You know what I think? There's a lot of people that are saved and are disciples of the Lord, but they're not living happy lives. Because they're not doing what God wants them to do. They've not submitted their heart to His will. And they won't do the uncomfortable things. And they won't do the humble things. And they won't do the things that sort of turn them off. And there's a lot of things God wants us to do that turn off the flesh. Your flesh doesn't want to serve God. And there's something in you that doesn't want to be like Jesus Christ. That's why we have to sing the songs. Because there's another part in it, if you say, that should want to be like Him. If you do them happy. You mean, preacher, I can be saved and not be happy? If you won't do the will of God, you'll never be happy. Look, people do a million things to be happy. And Jesus said, if you'll do what I say, you'll be happy. What are the things they've done in chapter 13? They've sat at the table. They've fellowshiped one with another. They've prayed together. They've heard the Word of Jesus Christ, the Word of God together. They've let Jesus Christ wash them. You know what? You can never be happy if you won't let Jesus wash you. Christians, look, Christians are so miserable because they've got dirt in their life that they won't let Jesus scrub their feet. No. That's part of my job. Part of your job. Yeah, I know some saved people that they've got jobs that cause them to do things that are against the Word of God. I better move on there. I felt something right there. There's a lot of different things in our lives that we're uncomfortable with sometimes, but we can never be happy until we're in the will of God. And we can't be in the will of God if He's not cleansed us of those things. Look, the things that rob you of joy are not because you've got everything in your life like you want it. It's those little sins and those things that are contrary to the heart of Jesus Christ that causes you to be miserable. Happiest people in the world don't have anything. I've seen them with my own two eyes. Happy are ye if you do them. Happy are ye if you let me wash your feet. Happy are ye if you'll sit at the table with me and fellowship with me instead of your cell phone. Happy are ye if you'll spend some time in prayer and spend some time listening to my words. Happy are ye if you'll serve one another like I'm serving you. What does Jesus say? I'm giving you an example to do like I've done. If you will serve each other, if you'll wrap your life in serving each other, you'll be happy if you do them. And if you serve yourself, you will be a miserable human being. But there's something in me that doesn't want to get that basin and that towel and get down there with those dirty feet, man. Give my life for other people. So people live their lives in comfort, but yet in misery. Happy are ye if you do them. So there was an imperfect knowledge in this text of what's going on. And then I see this cleansing. I think this is fascinating. Would you look back at verse 10 again? Jesus saith to him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, but ye are clean, but not all. He said, look, if you're washed, you're clean. But we still need to take care of your feet. Look, in other words, Jesus is saying, just because your feet are dirty doesn't mean you're dirty. Now, that's a weird thing, isn't it? But that's true. Your whole body can be clean. But that part of you, that sandal, that open-toed shoe, walking through that first century road, the dust and the grime and the dirt, their feet couldn't help but get dirty. They could have come out, they could have had the best bath in the world, amen, two times over, and walked out and walked from their house to the upper room, and their feet would have still been dirty. Because you can't walk through the world with shoes without being dirty. Jesus says you're clean, but your feet are not clean. And just because your feet's not clean doesn't mean you're not clean. Oh, this is a great truth and mystery. Now, if you're saved, you know what you are? You've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You're clean. But all these liberal preachers that say, well, just forget about your feet. Now listen now. Preacher, why does the Bible say in 1 John 1:9 about confessing our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness? Why does it say that if I've already been cleansed by the blood of Jesus and He's removed all my transgressions from me and He's forgiven me all my iniquity, all of it was forgiven at the cross? I'm clean, right? I'm clean, brother. Even the part you see that's not clean, God says, I'm clean. But my feet aren't clean. I'm clean, but my feet aren't. Look, the part of me that touches the world needs washing. You understand? My heart's clean. He gave me a new heart. What's on the inside's clean. He scrubbed me and purified me and gave me the very imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. He sanctified me once for all and forever. I'm clean. But as I walk through this world, the dust of this world gets on my feet. There's a part of me that touches this world sometimes. There's a part of my body. There's a part of me that's not saved. It's part of Adam that keeps touching this world and sometimes gets defiled. And Jesus needs to cleanse that. Now watch it now. Watch it. Remember what he said? He said, if you don't let me wash your feet, then you have no part. Watch it now. Part with me. You see that? You see that word with? With? Isn't that a preposition? Am I right? With? He didn't say in. He didn't say you have no part in me. I mean, I'm saved. I'm in Christ. Christ is in me. But watch it now. If I don't let him clean the part of me that touches this world, I will not have a part with him. What does that mean? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he says, what fellowship has Christ with? Belial, what fellowship hath believers with unbelievers? In other words, I can't have that part with Christ, with that sweet fellowship. That's what this whole chapter is the setting is. They're at the communion table, guys. Are you with me? They're at the communion table. They're at the fellowshipping table with Jesus. And Jesus says, I tell you what, Peter, there's something that stands between you and me having good communion, and that's the dirt on your feet. You know what the principle is, Christian? You can be just as saved as anybody's ever been saved, but you will have no part with fellowshipping with Jesus Christ if you don't let him keep those feet clean. If you don't let him cleanse you of the things that contact this world every day, there are things with your eye gates that contact and touch this world, and with your hands that contact and touch this world, and with your ears that contact and touch this world. There are things that can enter into our lives, and we're clean, but he needs to wash our feet, or we can't have fellowship at the table. And God wants to fellowship with you. He wants to have sweet communion and fellowship with you. But if you won't let him come by and wash your feet, if you won't take care of those things in your life that are dirty, that have touched this world, that fellowship's going to be broken. I see something else here. Anybody burning up besides me? I feel like I got malaria. All right. Let's keep reading. He says in verse 10, and ye are clean at the end of the verse, but not all. What is he talking about? Verse 11. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore, he said, ye are not all clean. So he's talking about the one that should betray him. Drop down to verse 18. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me, that's what they're doing at the table, hath lifted up his heel against me. That's what Judas is doing to betray him. And that's a quotation of Psalm 41 verse 9. And it's strange. You can read Psalm 41 and the next verse talks about God raising him up. But boy, that's a whole nother verse. That's a whole nother message. He said, hath lifted up his heel against me, verse 19. Now I tell you before it come that when it has come to pass, you may believe that I'm he. He said, I'm telling you right now, I already know somebody's going to betray me. And he's going to get down here in text and he's going to spell that out to them. And he says, this one that's going to betray me, he's my friend. And I'm sitting at the table eating with him and I love him. But he's not clean. And I'm not talking about his feet. I'm talking about his heart. He said, I've made my way down this table and I've washed every one of your feet. But there's one of you here that's not clean. You're not all clean. Somebody in here is not clean. One of you is a faker. Now watch it. I said that this morning. You can take communion. Jesus can wash your feet. And by the way, he said he that is washed. He didn't say he that is baptized. I was over there in Israel. You know what I saw everywhere I went? Benjamin, he'll corroborate this, talk to you about it. I saw a thing called a mikveh. What a mikveh is, it's a little place you walk down into to cleanse yourself before you go into the synagogue. or some other ritual. The Jews had all types of divers washings, the Bible calls them. In every synagogue, there was a place that before you had to walk down into that water and get under that water and come out from under that water to be, that was a ceremonial cleansing. They still do that today. Because they equated getting down in that water with being clean. Well, no wonder the Church of Christ got messed up. No wonder the Catholics got messed up. Hey, you can get in all the water you want to. You can have mikvahs everywhere in your house and everywhere else. And that's why John the Baptist said, I tell you what, we don't have a mikvah. We have the Jordan River. And if you want to come out here and get baptized, that's all right. But you need to confess your sins and you need to understand it's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. It's not the Jordan River. It's not the baptistry. It's not the mikvah. It's not the waters at the synagogue. It's the Lamb of God. And Judas got his feet washed by Jesus and went to hell. Man. Jesus took communion from the hand of Christ and was a devil. You know why? It's not the stuff on the outside. And that's what he's trying to communicate to the disciples. It's not what I'm doing on the outside. It's your heart. And I want your heart to be like my heart, Jesus is saying. And one of you is a faker. Oh my. Jesus said in Matthew 19:28, he said, ye which have followed me in the regeneration shall sit on 12 thrones of the tribes of Israel. Regeneration, that's the washing of the Spirit of God, Titus chapter 3 tells us. He says, just because you're my disciple doesn't mean you're going to sit on the throne. You have to follow me in the regeneration. In other words, you've got to be washed on the inside. The Spirit of God's got to wash you on the inside. You ever been washed on the inside? Or are you a faker? You say, preachers, Sweet Springs Baptist Church, we're on church on a Sunday night. It's a great crowd. Everybody's saved and on their way to heaven. Boy, I wish that was so. But if Judas can look the part and nobody even know it was him. You can sit here in church and be a faker and have no relationship with God and have no cleansing of the Spirit on the inside in your heart. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. He says, you're not all clean. Some of you are fakers, you say. Now, how do we get clean? Hold your finger right there. Would you get Ephesians chapter 5? You see our verse in verse 1 that we were talking about this morning. He loved them to the end. He loved them enough to get right down there with their dirty feet. If Jesus will love you down to the bottom of the sole of your foot to wash you up, He loves you. He loves you to the end. He'll continue throughout all your life to cleanse your feet. You know what that feet washing also did? It not only cleansed, I tell you what. Now, I ain't letting you do this, but that was a comfortable experience. You ever been on a hard road, hard journey, and stuck your feet in a good bath? Yeah. I mean, those weary feet, he's it's a pleasant experience for them. He wants it to be a wonderful experience in their life. It's not only cleansing, it's a comforting thing. And you know, it's a comforting thing to be clean before God. How do I get clean? Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible says in verse 25, Ephesians 5, 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, look at it, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Jesus Christ is trying to cleanse you and daily sanctify your feet, though you are clean, though you belong to Him. He wants every part of your life to be clean. He wants you to be presented holy and without blemish. And listen, after we get to the judgment seat of Christ, He's going to do that very thing. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word. We cannot be clean without the word of God. I can have a mikveh here, I can have a baptism here, I can have a pot of water down here, we can wash all we want to wash, but unless we let the word of God get down in our hearts and our minds, we'll never be clean. Jesus is in the church. Jesus Christ is here tonight. And the Word of God is here tonight. And what He wants to do is take this Word of God and with an open, receptive heart, get down in there and clean you up and clean me up. But are you Peter saying, "You'll never wash my feet"? You're not going to touch this area of my life. This is mine. I'm not comfortable with that. How can people be comfortable with their sin but not comfortable with Jesus cleansing them? Look at Revelation 19. He says in Revelation 19. Get Revelation 19. With the other hand, get Luke 12. Now this is what I really believe. He says He sanctifies us with His Word to present us holy and without blemish. And that's going to ultimately happen when we get up to heaven and we meet the Lord. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 19, verse 7, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife hath made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints." And He talks about the marriage supper. Now look at Luke chapter 12. Now wait a minute, there's a lot of Christians that have a lot of things that have not been taken care of in their lives. They're going to meet God with it. There's a lot of unconfessed sin in the lives of Christians, things that have touched this world that they've never taken care of before they leave the world. But the Bible says that one day there's going to come the marriage of the Lamb, and we who belong to Jesus Christ, He's going to make all of us are going to be made holy and without blemish and pure and clean. Wonder how that's going to happen. He said in Luke chapter 12, verse 37, "Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that He shall gird Himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them." Now, you can believe what you want to believe about the text. I really think the Lord is going to have to do a little washing of our feet when we get to the judgment seat of Christ. It might even be at the marriage table. Can you imagine being at the marriage supper table and the Lord girding Himself and coming and said, "Yes, what would you like to eat?" The Son of God, whom angels adore. The Son of God that flung the world into existence. And He comes by your seat and says, "Would you like something to drink?" Maybe you'd be like Peter. "No, I'll get that, Lord." If you get that, you can just get up from the table because I'm serving. What if He goes through and He serves all of us? You know why? Because He's God's servant. And He's the servant of sinners. Doesn't He wait for your beckoning call, for you to come to Him and say, "Lord, I'm sorry"? And He's always right there to forgive you. He's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you. What if that marriage supper of the Lamb and we're all rejoicing and He comes by? What if He takes a towel? And what if He gets down by your table and says, "Now move out and take your shoes off"? Because I'm going to make sure that every spot, every stain is all cleansed. I tell you what, if you look down and you saw the wounds in somebody's hands that died for you to be there washing your feet, you know what you'll say? "I wished I had given Him more." And when He comes by and says, "Here, what can I do for you? And this is the heaven that..." Do you see all the servant? You see the serving in that? "This is the heaven I made for you. This is the place that I prepared for you. This is the supper that I made for you. I love you. You're my bride. And you'll say in your heart, you might be a little uncomfortable because that depth of love had never been reciprocated with your Savior. He'll gird himself and serve the servants. Their imperfect knowledge, their need to be cleansed, although they were clean. Let me ask you, are you willing to let others help you be clean? Oh, man. You know, some of us have, it's like that feet washing, you know. If I knew Simon's feet were dirty over here and I said, Simon, let me help you with that, son. Take them shoes off. Okay, that's enough. You know, somebody said, well, I know I got a problem down there, but, you know, I'll try to figure it out myself. You know what some of you are doing? You've got some sins in your life you can't take care of. Why don't you let somebody help you? You know why you want somebody to help you? Because you're like Peter. You're too proud to get help. You're too proud to let somebody serve you like Jesus served them to help you get clean. Are you willing to serve others to help them? You know what we think Christian service is? We think Christian service is just, you know, giving out the Bible and being kind. And what about the Christian service to help people get holy? I've given you example. I'm the servant of God. I'm your servant. I want to serve you and wash your feet, disciples. And you need to do that for somebody else. But it is uncomfortable to try to help somebody get clean and holy in their dirty life. Whoop, that's their problem. That's their life. Not comfortable talking about that. It's getting real quiet. I live my life, try to get my family on. I don't care what sins or problems they have. Yeah, but we're supposed to be washing each other's feet. It might be a whole lot easier to wash somebody's physical feet than trying to help them get their heart washed. And we live in such a progressive liberal society that nobody wants to help anybody get clean. You know why? Because everybody's so stinking dirty. Giving you example that you should follow my step. And by the way, you say, all right, let's go help people get right with God. He didn't use scalding water. Here, Peter, stick your big ones down in here. Ah! That's not the way either, right? The loudest and the hottest it should ever get is from the pulpit. But when we're dealing down here with people, you see where I am? Can I help you with this thing that the world has got a hold of your heart and messing up your life? I'm not down there with scalding water. I got a towel. Hey, we got to get this clean. Well, you, no, I don't want you to. No, never. No, I'm not going to let you touch it. Yeah, but you need to, if you're going to have fellowship with God, you need to let me help you with this. A lot of times people won't let you. I got to give you the last thing. What was Christ's example? Would you go back to John chapter 13? John 13, verse 13. You call me Master and Lord. And you say, well, for so I am. But the last phrase, verse 12, is, know ye what I've done to you? Do you know what I've... Do you even know the example that I've given you? Verse 14, if I then, your Lord and Master, wash your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that ye should do as I've done to you. And what is the really crux of this example, Master? 16. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him.
What is the whole truth? Jesus said, if I can serve you, if I can wash sinners' feet and I'm the Lord of glory, can't you wash each other's feet? If I can condescend to the place that's at the very top where none of you have ever been, up to the top of the third heaven, and come all the way down to a manger and go all the way to the cross and get down on my hands and knees with a basin and a towel and get your feet in my hand and start rubbing your feet and washing your feet and serving you, do you think you are greater than I am? Why can't you humble yourself? Why does your life have to be just the way you want it to be? Why can't you serve somebody else? Why does your life have to be about you? I'm on my hands and knees down here. And I'm the Lord. I'm your master. And I'm still your master. He didn't lose his position just because he took the place of a servant. He was still the master and the Lord. And if we will prefer one before another, and if we will, as in Peter's words, the one that was sitting at this table, if we will be clothed with humility, we won't lose our place with God. Jesus said, the greatest among you is the servant of all. You know what we have Christians saying? I don't want to do that. I don't want to live for God. I don't want to serve over here. I don't want to do that. Or I want to pick and choose what I want to do. I want to pick and choose how I get to live, who I get to help, what I get to deal with. And Jesus says, do you not see what I've done to you? Do you even know what I've done to you? Do you expect a better life than I had? Who do we think we are? That we don't need a cross. That we don't deserve a cross. That we don't deserve a crown of thorns. I saw those over there in the Garden of Gethsemane. They're about that long. Still growing. Who says we don't? Why do we? Are we greater than our master? Do we deserve more than he? Do we deserve all people to be faithful to us and never be forsaken by others and betrayed and denied? Do we deserve all the clean jobs? Do we deserve all the comfortable jobs? Or are we real Christians, like our master, willing to get on our face before God and not only serve Him, but serve other people? Serve each other. This is a lesson in humility. And we can't wash each other's feet, and we can't serve one another, and we can't serve God because we don't know the depth of our own washing by the Master. A superior would never do this, but he did it. Do you remember the story when David came out and Nabal was mean to him and cruel to him? And he went back and God struck him dead. And Nabal had a wonderful wife, godly woman. Her name was Abigail. And David said, go back and get that woman. I want her to be my wife. And they come down the road and Abigail meets him. You know what she says over there in 2 Samuel? She said, or 1 Samuel 25:41, she says, you know, if I can, listen, if I can just wash the feet of the servants of my Lord. Now that's a godly woman. She was married to a rich man and she found out something about God so much that touched her heart. And David saw that in her and he says, I want you to be my wife. And she said, your wife, if you'll just let me not wash your feet, but wash the feet of your servants. And she became David's wife. You know what I'd say? If you would just wash the feet of the Lord's servants. That'd be a high position in life for you.
You know what that book says about Elisha with Elijah? He poured water on the hands of Elijah. If you just sit there and hold the bowl and hold the water to serve someone else, you'll never serve God if you can't learn to serve somebody else. And that's not having a position. That's being a servant. We got too many people that want to have a position instead of wanting to serve people. That Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 5, he says, I tell you, these widows out here, listen now. There's some widows in the church out here that need to be taken care of. Watch it. But we're only going to take care of the ones that washed the saints' feet. You ever read that? In other words, you don't deserve to be taken care of unless you've taken care of somebody else. Are our lives filled with, by love, serving one another? Verse 20 said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth me, receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. You see, when we serve each other, when we serve the Lord, we're really serving Jesus Christ. You know what's wrong with all of us? We're just too stinking proud. And there's something about that bowl and that towel and those knees and those feet that is the epitome of humility and service. And Jesus says, you think you're greater than me?